Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We see your goodness. We see your goodness all over our lives. We see your goodness all over our lives. We see your goodness all over our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's the goodness of the Lord as I look out over this audience tonight and see your faces. And some covered up, some not, but I'm so glad to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing your faith supply. We're going to continue as we started last week in praying over our nation. I don't know, coming up with the election, it makes us more aware. But you could just put that aside, and I would say our nation needs prayer, wouldn't you? Yeah. So I welcome all of you this evening from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle. I'm glad that you are joining us tonight. Amen. Well, smile at somebody real big. And if you got your mask on, just hold your breath and pull it down long enough to smile. First of all, did I walk away? How did I get away without my card? Oh, here it is. Here it is. First of all, I want to give you an update from our team that's in Lake Charles up through Louisiana, up through that area that is still dealing with Hurricane Laura. Now, I did not realize because I don't know if I was not paying a close enough attention, but Hurricane Laura was a Cat 4, and it was only 7 miles an hour away from being a Category 5 hurricane. Did you know that? Some did, some didn't. And that just shows you the news would rather tell you about something happening in the street somewhere than. So anyway, our team is still there, and we're going to roll through some pictures real quick. I heard from Pastor Brian today and what they're doing. They had a dozen people go with them. So let me just read the report that he sent me today, and I want to share it with you. So Spencer, if you want to start those pictures. During our second week in the Lake Charles area, we had a team of 12 with us to help begin cleanup around partners' homes. Much of the work consisted of tree removal, debris cleanup, tarping roofs, and mold removal, including gutting the sheetrock and removing any contaminated items from the home. In 3 full work days, the team was able to finish working with 12 family houses and 1 ministry building. Look at the sizes of these trees. We've been blessed to help our partners, also to work with Operation Blessing. On Monday, we were sent to the home of the first responder in the area. This sheriff had been working so diligently to serve the community, he had been unable to secure the roof of his own home. Yeah, defund the police. Excuse me. Our team was unable to clean up debris around his home. Our team was able to clean up debris around his home, get the roof tarp to prevent further damage. Now, those pictures, I think that might be the ministry building. I'm not sure, but this is one of the houses that they are tarping. We are planning for another team to leave on Sunday, September the 27th. Now, I asked Pastor Brian to be really careful that we don't have the same people going back every time. This is really is hard work. It's emotionally and physically very taxing. So we need more people to sign up. Take some time off if you can to go with them. Anyone interested in joining these efforts can click on the relief team rotator on emic.org. If you'll click on that rotator, you'll get the pictures, the videos, the updates on everything that's happening. I encourage you to do that, to pray over the team. And you can also, I believe you can click on that to donate. We need to keep that disaster relief fund rising. I need it rising because even though we received an offering Sunday before last, we've been spending some of it. I'd say we spent probably about half of it already. So I'd like to see more money coming in. We've got a lot of work to do. And as you know, the storms that hit through the day yesterday, flooding in areas. So let me tell you what happens then. We start our call campaign. We usually give it 24 hours, sometimes 2 days or so, before we start calling every person that we have contact information in those affected areas. Our call teams start calling them. They'll start checking on them, reaching out to partners and people that as much as we can to see our partners, to see how they're doing and check. So many of the partners in the Louisiana area have not returned home. We haven't been able to reach some, but we have plenty. And so to be able to reach out to 12 homes, some we've been able to locate, some were just, you know, all their faith needed was an opportunity to hook up with somebody else of faith, you know, and somebody to hug them and love them and help them do what we can do physically. Sometimes they just need a little money to tide them over and get them going. Well, we're there to help with that if we can do that. So this is being a blessing. You're really touching your partners, helping partners, people of like faith. The Bible says that we are to especially take care of the household of faith. I think we could narrow that down into take care of our household of faith. Do take care of those first. So this is a blessing, and we thank you, Brian and team, all of you that are there and preparing to go out. And those of you that would like to go with us and you're not in the Fort Worth area, that's okay. Sign up on the link. Someone will contact you. And Josh Hansen, I've been thinking about you. Brother, you'd be very handy, literally, there. So you might think about that. He's looking at his wife saying, did she just call my name? So y'all pray about it and see what the Lord would have you to do to be helpful to these people that are in need. So let's open our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're doing that, we're going to start where we were last week. But I want to remind you of what Pastor George shared with us on Sunday and talked to us. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. Now, I want to say something about righteousness. I'm just going to add this out there without getting off in our path tonight. But I want you to understand something about righteousness. One side of the ditch, theologically speaking, is that you're no good. You're just a worm. And you'll be righteous when you get to heaven. But the Bible says that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous with His righteousness. The other side of that ditch also says that the only way you can become righteous is to work towards it and to try to earn it. There's 10 lifetimes you could not work enough to gain the righteousness of God. You can't get that far up because all you have to do is one time miss it and you have fallen short of the glory. So you will never be righteous as Him by your works. That's the other side. So we understand that. But this idea that if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ in my spirit, then it doesn't matter what I do, or it doesn't matter my works, and discount the necessity of works in the Christian life. And that's not true either. That's a ditch on the first kind. That's another ditch. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, is imparted to us not through anything you did except receive it. Okay, you did have to do something. But it isn't based on what you did other than receive the righteousness of God, which is imparted into your spirit by which you are born again into His image. And you then you, the you, become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. However, the outside of you has to be righteousness has to be let from the inside out. That righteousness of God has to come out and express itself in righteousness. So you have to know which application righteousness we're talking about. So if I always say rob a bank, was that the righteousness of God? So in that action, I am not righteous. Now I'm born again and my spirit is the righteousness of God in Christ, but I was not a righteous man doing that. What the cross did in the Old Testament, the works of righteousness could bring them towards God. And it still will bring you towards Him. But you're doing it on your own, not without God. God's there to help. He helps people. He's helped the Jews. He'll help you. When you do good, He'll help you do it. He helps good people do good things, and He helps good people do better. But it won't get you where He wants you, which is in His face. It won't empower you from the inside out. You can't work your way on the outside to get righteousness on the inside. So coming through the cross to get on the other side of the cross, what happens then is that His righteousness is imparted on the inside so that that righteousness can come on the outside. Because the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith unto the works that He had destined for us. Everybody wants to leave that part off. We're still here for the works. We are here to do the work. What is a big verse Jesus said? These works shall you do and greater works. Somehow we've categorized that to only mean miracles, wonders, etc. Well, that sure is it. But the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. Just doing good. Doing good. And in this atmosphere, this momentum of doing good, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Always doing good. He was doing good. Why? Because He was good. You can't be good trying to, can't do good trying to be good. But you can be good, and then when you, by faith from that righteous place, step out to do good, then the supernatural hooks in and it takes on an eternal quality, an eternal nature that goes beyond what your hands and feet can do. He went about doing good. And then there was healing all by moving the devil out of the way. So this tells us that the whole of our Christian life is to come from the inside out. Before the cross, the best people could do was live from the outside in. And it had an effect. It's not without effect. The Jews, look at what they did for the world and still are doing for the world. They teach their children, your mission, your call from God is to repair the world. Do good. I mean, they are drilled. Do good. Do good. And the lovely thing about it is they don't do it with a selfish motive. They don't do it for the eternal reward. They're not as minded about that sometimes as we are. They do it because they are taught, you're here to make this a better place for the other guy. Always for the other guy. God will take care of you. And it's powerful. But it falls short of the glory. Now how pitiful, pitiful, pitiful for those of us who have received the glory and then fall short of the works. Sure quieting in this refrigerated church. That wasn't in my notes. Not sure why I needed to bring that out. Maybe thinking about the disaster team. But living from the inside out. If we live from the inside out, the word speaks to us differently. If we're living from the inside out, the world speaks to us differently. You hear it different. It doesn't fall on your ears the same way. It doesn't talk to you the same way. Because it won't ring right in your spirit. It may tickle your flesh, but it won't ring right in your spirit. The only way to change and affect the world, you can't do that through good works when they are operating in this highly developed soulish area. That's what a whole lot of all this is. But there's a lot of it that people are operating in areas, or they're spiritual, but they're still works of the flesh. Witchcraft is working with spirits, but the Bible lists it as a work of the flesh. Now, did you not see my notes? This is not there. Bible says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And I think this, in my opinion, there may be some of you that don't agree. Bless your heart. So, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Don't know the reference for that. Somebody ask your Bible concordance. So prove it's in the Bible. So when you name something good and there's evil underneath it, that's what that is. And there's woe to it, but there's woe in it. Biggest case in point, Black Lives Matter. Absolutely. And there are times when that needs to be pointed out because there are some people that seemingly don't know that. Not near so many people as used to. I mean, guys, I know this will really shock you all, but I am old enough to remember really bad. I remember separate water fountains. I remember things. I don't want to remember them. I remember that. It was common in my lifetime. Is there racism out there? Are there people that are racist? Oh, yeah. In every shade, color, shape, form, and age, let me tell you. Because it's a human sin condition. It is not a skin condition. It is a sin condition. Somebody ought to tweet that one. I think I made a tweet. Okay, so it is not a skin condition. It is a sin condition. So with Black Lives Matter, but some people need to be reminded of that. And when horrible stuff happens, goofy stuff happens, okay, it's time to say, hey, Dingledorf, Black lives, they matter, and they matter as much as any other life. But I did see a video last week of as I understand it, the two women that started that movement. They was them, not about them. It was them talking. It was the video they made. And this is what they said. So how our movement is spiritual. It's very spiritual. Being spiritual is the most important thing to us. I'm paraphrasing. So I did not plan to say this. I ought to read you the transcript. It's so important to us because these things, they're spiritual things. So here's what we do. We go to that spot where somebody was killed, where they died. And we chant their names over and over and over until their spirits enter us and tell us what to do. That's called necromancy. It's a big word, look it up. Or channeling. And it's one of the most abominable things named in the Bible against God. I don't care. The Bible, even if they were quoting scripture, doing that, or using scripture in some form, but doing that, or even if what they are saying and their intent seemed right, Black Lives Matter, I'm not going to follow a demon. Why? Woe to them who call good evil and evil good. Woe. And there's woe all wrapped up in it. Is there proof? Can you see it in the nation? Can you see it? Has anything gotten better? Is anything, I know I've seen a few occasions where in spite of it, you have Christian people, it happened here in Fort Worth, the police officers reached out, took hands and went to their knees and prayed. Glory to God. So that about, how do I even get over in that? So living from the inside out. As believers, we need to be far more sensitive to our spirit. Do a little homework. Watch a few things. Don't just because somebody quoted something to you. And don't skim across the surface. No, there it is, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Whoa. So I guess that's extra. So we're talking free of charge. So and that may answer some questions why some of you are thinking and people just automatically agreeing with that because it sounds good, but it's rooted. That is rooted in evil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So where abortion is concerned, I wanted to go over a few scriptures with you. Here's the other thing about that. I'm sure pastor's going to get to this on Sundays, but I'm talking to people who came to pray. Abortion kills more black lives in 2 weeks than the Ku Klux Klan did in all of its existence combined. Yes. So the same people that are screaming Black Lives Matter are screaming more abortion, more abortion, more abortion. Proverbs 6:16-19. I read it. I have it here in the NIV. There are six things the Lord hates. How would you like to be on the other end of that? Seven that are detestable to him. Now listen to this. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush to evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up dissension among brothers or sows discord among the brethren. I don't want to participate. I don't even want to cozy up next to any of those. But when it comes to the abortion industry, it's all of them. It's all of them. Proud, haughty, lies. That they're telling the children. I spent several hours reading the curriculum. It's the California version, but it's also in Texas, in Fort Worth and Austin. And it was horrible. It's pornography in cartoon form. In California, it starts in five-year-olds. But there's a whole lot dedicated to abortion is safe. Quick, safe. Homework assignments for the class include Planned Parent websites. Guest speakers include representatives from Planned Parenthood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. There's so much that's driving this abortion. When the last Democrat administration and the one before that pressed abortion in Africa, funding abortion in Africa. Now, in Africa, in huge portions of it, Tracy lived there a lot of her life. They don't have social security. They don't have welfare, retirement, Medicaid. The family unit is how they survive. The children are raised to grow up to help the parents and the grandparents. And it's all a familial society. It's set up that way they're very tribal, most of them, very tribal, but that society, there's not much government there to help with those kinds of things. Abortion was so pushed in those societies, there aren't enough children to take care of the elderly. They're dying. But that's the plan. That was communism. That was Stalinism. Kill the ones. If they can't work, kill them. Get rid of them. Let them die. Babies, Be sure you very monitor how many there are, because they take away from the worker. Remember, the whole thing in Russia was the worker. And I don't remember the numbers. Greg or Jean, you might recall the hundreds, couple, how many Stalin killed? 100 million? Around 100 million of his own people. The Lord says in Psalm 139, 13 through 16, "You made all my parts, inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." And I thought of this. When I read it, it says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion." But when I saw the word seclusion, I saw suction. You watched while I was being suctioned apart. This is what the Lord says. "He who made you, who formed you, will help you. I am confident in the mercies of our God that He helps those babies, that He is there for them. Never be a mark on their spirit." Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." The problem and the horrors of what that all does, and challenge you to find out about it. One of the biggest problems we have in the church right now is that we claim this holiness and sanctity to not be like the world, and it's blinders. And really, most of the time, like parents that won't talk to their kids, won't tell them what's going on, afraid to talk about it in church, afraid to say, wouldn't say some of the things I've said to you tonight. And pastor's going to say some things. He's got some things to say to you, and we'll be announcing Sunday that Super Kids will be open a week from Sunday. And we're going to tell you some things. But the blinders, where you have to face things and yet partakers when you think no one is looking. And guys, we can't do that. The church can't do that. Deuteronomy 27:25. "Cursed is everyone who takes a bribe or payment to shed innocent blood." And the people say amen. "Cursed is everyone who takes payment to shed innocent blood." 60 million. Now, here's something. I don't think Pastor had time to mention this. The Bible says that Abel's blood cries out, still cries. Why does his blood still cry? All the generations lost. Because if you read through Scripture, you see more than one occasion. The Bible says that that all of the Jews were in Abraham's loins. They were all in, all. So all the generations, that all the people that did not come because Abel was killed, God knows who they are and He counts them. So the 60 million that have been aborted, I don't think we could fathom in our thinking how many people that would be. And this thing about being overpopulated, I like what this pastor said the other night. He was talking. He said, you know, the depopulationists never want to go first. Let me help the world. I'll jump off. It's crazy. God knows. There's plenty. We got enough room in West Texas for about two-thirds the rest of the planet, probably. Especially as close as we build houses around here. Okay, Terry. Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we didn't know this. We didn't know this was going on. We didn't know about that. We didn't know about it. I didn't know that. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? So what we have working here is this curse at work. So when we pray for God to have mercy on America, the mercy may not look, first of all, like you think it will. His mercy is not to overlook it. His mercy is not to say, oh, well, okay, we just won't pay attention to that. He doesn't do that. But his mercy grants opportunity for repentance. His mercy grants opportunity for a visitation, an awakening, an outpouring. The church, we, as the church as a whole in this nation, we suffer under what the nation goes through. We have to stand in faith to come out of it when there's recessions and COVID. Come on. To believe God. Believe God in all sorts of ways. For jobs, for money, for wisdom. It's been an extremely intense time just being here. You know, and the Lord's blessed us, but it's a lot to deal with. Businesses and families, on top of believing God, that you stay well and healed in the midst of all of it. But if we will press into, I need a clock in the back, guys, if you could give me one, running time is fine, real time. If we will do the part of the church like we talked about last week, and this is where Ephesians 6 comes in. Ephesians 6, pray at all times on every occasion in every season in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and entreaty or supplication. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Perseverance is required in these things. Praying the prayer of faith over yourself is not the same as being in perseverance in other areas. A prayer, interceding in behalf of all the saints. Interceding in behalf of all the saints. Being in the Spirit. You know, little Piper last night told us she loves to pray over the food. It's the same prayer every time, but she loves to pray over the food. So I think KK sitting next to her trying to at least help her change it up a little bit because we go around the table. God, thank you for the food. Thank you for Eileen. Thank you for Mommy and Daddy, Poppy. We go all the way around the table and the rest of us are like, But KK whispered to her, and all the people in the world. And I saw Piper freeze and she's thinking, do I have to name them? No! She's three. No. Finally, we just got her to say, and all the people in the world, amen. Okay. But this interceding in the Spirit, it's not that there has to be more words. It's where they come from. It's not a thing on the list we check off. It's reaching down on the inside and drawing out something. I want to read to you a few scriptures. Isaiah 59:11. I really sidetracked. But I believe it was the Lord. Isaiah 59:11-16. I can't go back to that yet. This racial thing is so... He who sows discord among the brethren. We can't let it in with us. And you can't get over in your head or your feelings about it. You gotta work, you gotta operate out of your spirit. And that's really true, whether it's race or other offenses, or, you know, I mean, spiritually speaking, an offense is an offense. And we're not supposed to be. And people can be offensive. And other people can be touchy. And you've been one or the other at one time or another. And the hard part is when one is offensive and one is touchy and they get together. And love is not supposed to be either one. But if we operate out of our spirit, a lot of things, it's not about being right or wrong. There's something bigger and higher that swallows all that stuff up. It's a lot of times it's more about what matters through God's eyes where you are concerned. And don't be quick to grab the world's, how the world defines and their judgments. Don't do it. They are not our standard. Jesus is. Jesus is, and Jesus broke through racial barriers, and he broke through, and it's not just races, ladies and gentlemen, far more oppression of women than just races. They've been oppressing women since the garden, come on now. So it's wherever the line of differences may fall, there's reason for seclusion and oppression. And, you know, I worked in television, started that being a female in 1975 in college, the only one in our area in that work and field. It was a man's world. I've had people grab me by the throat. I have been threatened. I have been called names. I have been talked down to. I've been inappropriately flirted with. I've been treated like I was stupid. Now, that's not to compare the horrible things that other people have done, but what I'm saying to you is that the only way, whether it's, you know, I clearly I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. So don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is to overcome that, whatever it is, we overcome by the work of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What's our testimony? It's not just what the Lord did for me, but the word of God that's in our own message, the word of God that's in our words, the word of God that's living through us, that just swallows that stuff up. Anyway, and the Bible says that we are to believe the love. Choose to believe the love of God to you, the love of God through you. And so what if everybody on the planet is awful? He loves you. He loves me. And that, it's available to be enough to overcome anything else. Am I making sense or am I talking circles? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Isaiah 59:11. So, and the Lord, we may wind up praying about something different today than I thought. That may be why I'm working through this. Isaiah 59:11. We groan. Okay, Lord, I get it. We groan and growl like bears. We moan like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, Lord. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us. Our iniquities, we know and recognize them as rebelling against the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression, revolting, conceiving and muttering and moaning in the heart words of falsehood. I tell you, this was the 6 o'clock news. Justice is turned away backward. Righteousness stands afar off. Truth has fallen in the street. Uprightness cannot enter the courts of justice. Yes, truth is lacking. And that's what the scripture says, is that they loved not the truth. Therefore, God allowed to come among them a persuading influence of deception. They said, we don't want the truth. It's fine. If you don't have the truth, what do you have? Deception. If you don't love the truth, what do you get? Deception. The most unfortunate thing about deception is you don't know you got a case of it. If you know it, you're not deceived. The only way to keep from being deceived is to keep pressing in to know the truth from the Word of God. But now look at this. Truth is lacking. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. If anybody tries to get out from under that. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. God is not pleased with injustice. Now this is the truth about it. This is where we go. We're looking to God to do something, the people of God to do something. He does not like injustice. He doesn't like it against races. He doesn't like it against women. He doesn't like it against the unborn. He doesn't like it in the courts. He doesn't like it in the workplace. He doesn't like it. He is the God of justice. And this is our answer. He saw that there was no intercessor. No one to intervene on behalf of truth. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory. Getting hold of justice is victory for God. This is an affront to him. And he said, I need an intercessor to get me the victory. His victory is our victory. Yes. If he wins, we win. And he said, I need an intercessor. And he couldn't find one, so he just sent himself one. And his name is Jesus. We follow under his example for intercession. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory. His own righteousness, he gave the Spirit without measure. So intercession is a work of the Spirit. Real intercession. What is intercession? Job chapter 9 is a great picture of it. Job, which is right before the book of Psalms. And then we'll pray. I got to get over into prayer. I see now what you wanted us to do, Lord. I understand. Forgive me that this took so long for me to find this where God wanted us to be. Job 9, verse 32. I'm reading the Amplified. God is not a mere man, as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in court. There is no umpire between us. King James, I believe, calls it a daysman. What is that? Who might lay his hand upon us both. It's someone, an intercessor, is someone who lays hand on God and a hand on the other who needs him. Sometimes intercession is God. You take your, it's like you're on God's side and you're drawing someone to him. Other times, you're in the spirit, you're with someone else, and you're carrying them to him. So, while I intended to pray over the unborn tonight, we still will, but the point is injustice. It's injustice. Thank you, Lord. I just couldn't figure out why I was over in this whole other thing. It's supposed to be about the unborn, but God knows, and now I get it. Could you bear witness with this? Do y'all follow? Y'all are so quiet, you know. Hallelujah. So we're going to say it now, in the Spirit. Man, how are we supposed to pray about that? How are we supposed to pray about something that's trying to rip an entire nation apart? How do you pray about injustices that go, I mean, the injustices we've seen in America, listen, that, like I said before, that isn't a skin problem, that's a sin problem. That slavery and all that other business and dominance of other people. Nimrod was a great example. The Jews say, the Bible says he was a hunter. They explain that and says that word means he was a hunter of men's souls. He wanted to control men's souls. I think that trying to control man's soul is worse than controlling his physical body. To control his soul, to control what he thinks and how he feels, and to try to control his eternal outcome. Injustice. So this will be our last verse in Romans 8. Miss Ivy, you want to come up? Okay. Come help me, Rhonda. Romans 8, 26. If we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. That's a picture of faith. Yeah, I'll let them light the streets up and tear buildings down or increase abortions or go crazy over here or do something over there or be ugly in the workplace. But we're not moved. We're not moved. Whatever they're doing, that's not where we have our eye. That's not where we have our heart and our intent and our focus. What did we just read in Ephesians 6? He said, pray always in the Spirit with strong purpose and perseverance to the end, to that end, with the purpose of the Spirit. So the Spirit comes to our aid and he bears us up in our weakness. We don't know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought, but the Spirit himself goes to meet or hook up with our intent, supplication. What's the difference between supplication and prayer? Supplication is prayer that goes deeper. There's a deeper place of prayer. It's more, it goes for something more than what I can just think to say. More than what I can just think to pray. More than what I can just think based on what I know. If we only pray based on what we know, we won't go very far and we get self involved. You can only know what God thinks about a situation to a certain point because you are limited. What you know of him at this point in your life is still limited. and what you can know. But he says, but the Spirit comes. And what happens? He meets up with this supplication and he works and speaks out in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings, groanings too deep for utterance. He searches the hearts of men and he knows what is in the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God. That's capitalized there, but it's your spirit. Your spirit hooked up with his spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of men with groanings, with utterances, with tongues, by pulling out things for which you have no mental ability to attach a word. Sometimes words you know come out. Sometimes you can pray with your known language in that same place, but the words are not coming. They're not preformed in your mind. I'm preaching to you right now. It's been more evident than sometimes than not knowing what the next words were going to be. So Miss Iva and their prayer group last Friday, if you're not part of that prayer group, you should be. How can they get the contact information?
Yeah, Tracy, you should text it.
No, how do you, tell them to get on the phone?
I texted earlier because we figured you would ask.
Oh, good. Yes, oh, this is it.
Yes,
it. Okay.
But they should be able to put it up.
They put it on the screen? Okay. All right. So if you want to write this down, so you can get on this prayer call with her. Right now it's running between 300 and 400 people every Friday that are getting on this prayer call, and from people around the world. So on Friday, they got over in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, you say words, you just say them. You don't even know what they are, but then the Lord points them out. So tell them a little bit what you were praying. You didn't even know what you were praying about at the time.
I didn't. So like you said, Friday prayer. So we were praying and I was saying this word, row, 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 and then after a while, I said, Roe versus Wade. And then that's when it shot up. And we began to pray about overturning. The Lord said, I want to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed a lot of things out. But
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Dee, where you are? Dee, come on up, Dee. And I just feel that we need to, we may pick up where that is, but this spirit of injustice, hallelujah, I don't know. And maybe some of you other intercessors want to come up here, that'd be fine. So in other words, don't get nervous watching on TV. Maybe you never even prayed in tongues before. Maybe you thought that was of the devil, but it's not, as we said, just saw right there. And so all you have to do if you're born again is ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit and by faith begin to let those words roll up out of your spirit and join there with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you sense, even in our discussions about this in the room tonight, can you sense the spiritual prickliness that goes with it? Yes? Yes? Hallelujah. It sometimes wants to provoke people. But we're provoking the devil tonight, so don't get on his side. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pull this back. Yeah, thanks, ladies. Yeah, let's just... Thanks, girls. And then y'all come up forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, you said that it bothered you that there was no intercessor. It bothered you that there was injustice. It bothers you. And we see from the scripture that you see every abortion. You see every time. You see what the devil does. You see what men do. You see injustice. You see injustice in every home. You see injustice against women, against men, against children. You see injustice in back hall rooms of people being sex trafficked and abused. You see when children are stolen from their families. You see when a man or a woman are put down because of their color or because of where they were born or because of money they don't have, money they do have. You see when judgments are made based on that. You see wicked judgments in courtrooms. You see wicked judgments by judges and juries. You see wrong judgments. You see wrong decisions made, Father, but without wrong intentions. You see mistakes made. You see bad training. You see it all. You know injustice. You know it. 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 You see it. And it moves you. It moved you so much you sent Jesus, who suffered the greatest injustice of it all. He has suffered the greatest injustice of them all. He suffered, and now he was raised up, Lord, and now he was an intercessor on the cross. And then he became an intercessor at the right hand of God. And so we pray, Lord, in line with his ministry. We pray in line with the... Y'all come up closer. We pray in line with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, we pray. We intercede, Lord, over this nation where injustice is concerned. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we lay hold of the work of injustice that haughty eyes and lying tongues and sowing discord among the brethren and the hands that are shedding innocent blood. Hallelujah. Oh, we lay hold of that. We lay hold of that. We lay hold of that, Lord. And we lift it to you in Jesus' name. We lift it to you in Jesus' name. We lift it to you in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, by the power of the intercessory ministry of Jesus, that you raise up men and women anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring justice to the courtroom, justice to the races, justice for the unborn, justice for women, justice for the poor, justice for the widows, justice, Lord. We're reminded, Lord, of the unjust judge. We're reminded, Lord, of the intercessor. Thanks. We're reminded of the intercessor, that woman, Lord, who wouldn't leave that unjust judge alone. We are her tonight. We are her tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing justice where injustice has been. By the Spirit of the living God, you are bringing mercy. You are bringing, you oh God, a batel, a mokor, amade, state, a mogledre, don't no mogonze, sabai. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And God, we pray, Lord, for all the injustice, Lord, of those that have suffered under the hand of the control of other men, that have suffered under the pressures and the lies. Sometimes, Lord, the torture of men upon other men. So the oppression that people have put upon other people. Oh God, that our nation would come out from under the oppressor, out from under the work of injustice, out from under the work of the slave master, the taskmaster, Satan himself, the enslaver, the oppressor, the destroyer, the accuser of the brethren. Satan himself and all his kingdom. He's the liar. He's the thief. He's the destroyer. He's the the one who's haughty and full of pride. He's the one that sows discord. He's the one that sows strife among American brethren. He sows strife in the church. He sows strife in the homes. He sows strife in the courtroom. He sows strife in the streets. He sows strife in the business world. He sows hatred. He sows hatred. And he calls other people what he himself is. Oh, Lord, I got a mara mashtora magasta. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, I pray the Spirit of God to move and to that we declare, Lord, that they took our pledge away. But no, this is one nation under God with liberty and justice. The justice of God. The justice of God. God is our justice. God is our righteousness. God is our King. God is our lawgiver. God is our judge. 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 We declare Satan in the name of Jesus. You let go of our nation. We take our nation back. We take our nation back. We take our nation back. We take it 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 back in Jesus' name. We hold this precious jewel. We hold Ashta Namagara Bana Namazara Bata Halaligo Sora Magasido Tata Magasida Vedo Alabara Nagaresto Kayanamaha Enamoho Lelabaza Sido. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We take our nation back. We claim it, Lord. It's yours. It's Oshogete. It's yours, Lord. It's yours, Lord. It's yours. It's yours. Justice for the unborn. Justice for the races. Justice for men. Justice for women. Justice for children. Justice, Lord. Justice, Lord. Justice. 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 Justice, Lord. We cry out for justice for our nation. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we're not asking. We don't ask for vengeance, Lord. Then the justice that we cry out, Lord, the justice we cry for is you. Is for you. Hallelujah. You know, those women with that Black Lives Matter, that was what they were saying was justice. Is that they wanted those spirits. They wanted those spirits to come so they could have justice. But just there's just with God's justice, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look that way. It doesn't look that way. It doesn't look that way. None of us want to get what we deserve from Him. He has eyes of compassion, a heart full of mercy. And He's covenant God. We're covenant people. We're covenant with each other. I am your sister in the Lord. I am your covenant brother and sister in the Lord. I am spiritually joined to you. And what man can say? He hates himself. I'm joined to you. I can't look at you and say, I don't need you. I don't like you. I don't want you. You're less important than I am. I can't say that to you. I'm joined to you. And whatever you are, whatever you are, whatever you look like, wherever you came from, it's beautiful. It's you. You matter. You matter. And you are not your skin. You are not your gender. You are not your bank account. You are not your diploma or lack of one. That is not you. You matter. And you reduce a man that he matters simply based on the color of his skin. You've reduced him. Reduced him. You are far, far more valuable than a skin color could ever tell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be that way about each other. I have to have you. I have to have you. You have to have me, like it or not. You have to have me. Oh, God. We declare that is the justice of God. You matter. You matter. You matter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, together we stand.
I have to help these girls.
Bless the Lord, 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 bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Your mercies endure forever. Your mercies endure forever. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.